Well, good morning, everyone. Baptism Sundays are always like the best Sundays. It's so exciting to just hear this story of how God has been working in Justin's life and Lily's life. So Justin, Lily, thank you for sharing your story. And we're so thankful for what God has done in you. If this is not your normal church, if you came here maybe for a baptism or someone invited you, or if you're just checking it out, if you are new to church, if you are new to Jesus, we're very glad that you're here. We want to give you a very warm welcome. Especially if you're asking questions about Jesus, we pray this morning that you would encounter something about him that just keeps you going on that journey. And if this is your church home, welcome home. If this is your church home, you will know that Pastor Kevin is our campus pastor. And Pastor Kevin is a good and dear friend. And yesterday, I got a text from Kevin at about 4 o'clock, letting me know. So Kevin, much of his family attends here, Caleb and Liam, his sons, Christina, his wife, Ken and Diane, his parents, that Ken is in the last days of life. And so Kevin is spending time with his dad, and so won't be here this morning. Kevin was supposed to preach this sermon, and so he's not here. And so what we want to do is we want to love the Schultz family, Ken, Diane, Kevin, Christina, Caleb, Liam, Barb, Kevin's sister. Like we want to show love to them. As much as we want to reach out, if I can just ask if we hold off for a couple days. We love Kevin and he and Christina, and we know that they know we love them. And so in these next couple days, if we're all texting him as well, it just becomes a lot. So they know we love them, but let's just hold off for a couple of days. But we do want to lift them up in prayer, so would you join me in prayer? God of all comfort, we just bring the Schultz family to you. Ken, Diane, Kevin, Christina, Barb, Brian, the whole family, God. And we just ask that you would bring grace and peace. God, we hand all things into you, into your hands. And we ask that overwhelmingly, more than anything else, that there would be an unmistakable sense of your presence with each of them in these coming days. So God, we pray for grace. And we ask that we would understand you more deeply as the good shepherd who walks with us in the valley of the shadow of the death. God, that they would not fear. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So we love them. But it's always an odd trend. How do you transition out of something like that? Many of you will know that I like riding my bike. And if you don't know, now you know. So a couple of years ago, I did something called the Grand Fondo. And the Grand Fondo, you can go 60 kilometers, 100 kilometers, 160 kilometers. And for me, I'm like, I'm going to do the 100-kilometer Fondo. Now, there's lots of people who ride bikes. If you ride your bike, you're probably faster than me. I am slower than all cyclists. If you never ride a bike, I am faster than you, because I am faster than all people who don't ride bikes. So for me, 100 kilometers, that's a big deal for me. For a lot of people, they'll go 150, 200, 250 kilometers. It's kind of unbelievable. But for me, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I had done it the year before, went to do it again, and the second year that I did it, I didn't train as much. The summer just got away from me, and so I start the Fondo not having trained as much as I should have trained. And there's a lot of things you need to train. You need to train your speed, your endurance. But one of the things that might be surprising is that you have to spend 6 hours sitting on a bike seat that is this big. And if you aren't trained for that, it leaves a bruise roughly this shape. And so the last 10 kilometers I had to ride standing up. It was incredibly painful. At about the 85-kilometer mark, I was biking with someone who was my pace partner, and we had done most of the ride together. We were going the same speed, needed brakes at the same spot, and I did what was called bonking. And a bonk is when you cannot go any further. You're like, I don't know if I can pedal one more time. I think I'm about to die. And normally what that means is you haven't been eating enough. And so the person I was with, they gave me some food. They're like, good luck. They took off. So I ate something. I was okay to make it to the rest stop. I took a break, ate some food. I made it to the end, and I was sore. And I was kind of frustrated that my time wasn't as good as I had hoped. I hurt, but I did it. And it was not how I wanted to cross the finish line, but I did, which is how I feel hitting step 12 of this sermon series. This sermon series, I don't think I was quite ready for what it was going to take. And so I feel a little bit bruised. There were times that I wanted to give up. I feel emotionally exhausted. And I am so glad to have made it to this point. And so maybe you have a similar feeling. If you've been walking through the sermon series with us, or if you're brand new here this morning and you're like, this seems like an intense sermon series, we've been going through the 12 steps, much like you would find in AA or NA or Freedom Session. And we have been talking about where are we addicted? Where do we feel frustrated? Where do we feel stuck? We've looked at ourselves and say, where are these patterns of painful and sinful behavior in our lives impacting our relationships? Who have I hurt and how do I need to make amends? Am I aware of God's presence in all of this? Are you right now aware of God's presence right now? Are you aware of Him in the room with us? And we've been on this journey and it has been tough and it hurts. And I'm tired, and I'm so glad to be on step number 12. And maybe you feel the same. Maybe you feel lighter having shared things with people you've never shared before. Maybe you feel tired having worked through some difficult conversations with God, yourself, or someone else. But wherever you're at, here we are at step 12. And step 12 says this, that having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others who are struggling and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Oh, sorry, I should have mentioned, there are no slides today because this is sermon started yesterday. So anything I say, if you want to remember, just write it down or you can email me. I can send you my notes. But there will be no slides this morning except for, actually, no, that's not true. Jack pulled a couple together in the first service and he did a great job. If there are slides, it's because Jack did a great job. So, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others who are struggling and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So, what does this mean in normal words? Basically, what this means is we see how far we've come. We know what God has done. And we try to bring the same to others. So, we see how far we've come, what God has done, and we try and bring it to others. And it's amazing to have had baptisms on the same day because you hear people say, this is the journey of how far God has brought me, and that is where I was, and this is where I am, and this is what God is continuing to do. And it's the story of how far have you come? What has God done? And you're sharing that. So to have had baptisms and step 12, it lines up beautifully. And in Psalm 66, as Ryan read it earlier, it's this idea of come and sing about what God has done. And Psalm 66 is where we're going to be looking this morning. So if you want to grab a Bible from the pew, it's on page 268. If you want to take that Bible, you are welcome to take it. It's not stealing. We want you to have it. If you have a Bible app, you can open up Psalm 66. And Ryan read the first couple of verses earlier, so we're just going to read a couple of them here. So Psalm 66 in verse 5, it says, come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. And then heading down to verse 16, it says, come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. And so Psalm 66 says, there's a story of what God has done. Let me tell you that story. So today, this morning, the question is do you know your story? Do you know what God has done? If I handed you the mic, could you tell us how far you've come? Do you know your story? Could you tell that story to others? It's really, really important we know our story. One of the things I've enjoyed over the years is being able to talk to people as they get ready for baptism. And there's lots of kinds of people, but some people grew up in the church, some people didn't grow up in the church. Who do you think has an easier time writing the story for their baptism? Grew up in church or not grew up in church? Not grew up in church have a far easier time. People who grew up in church have an incredibly difficult time being able to tell the story. It's like trying to explain water to a fish. It's what you're in. If you've always known about Jesus, it's hard to kind of tease out what difference he has made in your life. And so if we know our story, we can say, this is how far I've come. This is what God has done. It comes easier, but it's not always quite so simple. It's not quite so easy. And so if our life is all good, if things kind of mostly work together, we might feel like I've always been this way. And so if we don't know our story, we actually can become proud. I've always been like this, which means we're also forgetful that I've ever been any other way. And I become entitled that I have always been like this. I deserve this. I did this. And so if we only look at the good, we actually don't understand ourselves. We become proud, entitled, and forgetful. But you might say this morning, don't worry, John, I do not struggle with thinking my life was good. I am very well aware of my pain, my brokenness, my shortfalls. And so when I consider my story, I'm not so convinced that it's all good. In fact, all I see is the bad, the brokenness, the cracks in my life, as it were. And in that case, when you consider your story, you probably feel shame and despair and hopeless. But if all we see is the good, we misunderstand ourselves. And if all we see is the bad, we misunderstand God. Because when we have these places of brokenness and hurt and pain, God says, bring those to me. I can work with that. That's exactly where I want to start. So when we know our story, when we know where there's the cracks in our lives, we can actually see God at work. Leonard Cohen has a line in one of his songs. He says, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And it's this reminder for us that if we come and we say everything in life is good, well, there's actually no place for God's light to come in. And if we say my life is so broken, it's in shattered and it's been shattered and in shambles, that we might feel like no good can come of it, but it's in the very place of brokenness that God wants to meet us. And so when we start this series, where are you addicted? Where are you struggling? Where do you feel stuck? God says, let's begin there. I can work that. I can take that and do something beautiful with it. That God's grace meets us exactly where we need. The cracks in our lives is how the grace and the light comes in. So I've been alive longer than 12 weeks, but when I look back over the past 12 weeks, I can see what God has done. I personally struggle to feel like I have to be interesting to be worthy, that I have to say something to you that is interesting or insightful or unique or funny, and if I can't do that, then I have to prove myself, I have to prove my worth with something that is that. And over the past 12 weeks, there's been different times and moments where I've just been sitting in a conversation and God has nudged my heart, reminding me that I am enough because he knows me, he sees me, and he loves me, and I don't have to be interesting to be loved. And so in the past 12 weeks, there are stories that I haven't tried to top. There are jokes that I haven't feel like I've had to tell. I've found this small step towards a contentment in who God has created me to be. it's not the end of the journey, but I can see what God is doing. I can see that even if I went from here to here, that I have come that far. And so this is part of my story. It's part of how the grace gets in. I have a fear of conflict. I don't like crucial conversations, because if we have conflict and I've done something wrong, then good people don't do bad things, so maybe I'm not a good person. And so I'm afraid of conflict because it might mean that I am deeply broken. What I've been learning from God is that my willingness to have a conversation, to own something I've done, doesn't make me more broken. It's actually entering into the light. It's leaning into the way that God has given to fix what is broken in my life. It's how the grace gets in. And so for you, what is your story? How far have you come? What has God done? Maybe you're new to Jesus, and you're like, God has done nothing. Well, this morning, someone gave me a jar of cookie butter. Has anyone here had cookie butter? Like five people. It's cookies that have been turned into butter. They just take cookies that they mush up, and then you can like spread it on toast or on fruit or whatever. Cookie butter is amazing. It's incredible. If you've never had cookie butter, you are on the cusp of something amazing. Jesus takes what is broken. He gives hope to the hopeless. He heals the hurting. He restores the dying. If you have never encountered Jesus, maybe you are on the cusp of something amazing. That as you encounter Jesus, maybe your Jesus story actually begins today. And as you look back, you might actually begin to realize where Jesus has been at work in your story. And so today, you might be on the cusp of something amazing. And maybe you walk with Jesus for a long time and you're like, I actually don't know my Jesus story. I don't know how to say what Jesus has done. Well, one way to find out is think about something you do regularly, but not often. So what's something you do regularly but not often? So for example, have you ever gone to someone's house and they've got the back-to-school photo? So kindergarten, grade one, grade two, grade three, and it's like do-do-do-do-do-do. And you see all of these pictures, and that's something you do regularly but not often, is take the first day of school picture. And so if you look at a young child, they're growing right now. But you can't tell because you just look at them once. But if you were to take a picture year after year after year, you would say, okay, they are different. And so what is something that you do regularly but not often, and how has it been different in your life? For me, it's our staff retreat. And so every year in October, our staff goes away on this retreat. And when we first went on, my very first time at North Langley, my health was still really bad. And so I was struggling at that retreat. And so we took a staff photo, and they put the staff photo on social media, and I had at least two people reach out to me saying, John, like, are you okay? That's how bad I looked in the staff photo. I was wretched. And I have now been on three or four staff photos, and so every time I go to the staff retreat, I can see the difference. I can see how I've changed. I can see things that I can do that I didn't do before, things I didn't do that I can do now. And so in your life, where are the same things different? For you, maybe you look and you realize you had a moment where you got angry and didn't drink. A moment where you were lonely or discouraged and you didn't go online. Where you were hurt and you talked to God about it. These can be ways, these regular, but not often ways, they can be pictures into what God is doing. It can help us to see how far we've come. How would people who know you best say you've changed? If you came here this morning with someone, or if you are sitting with someone you know, start to think how they're different, because they might ask you, how do you think I'm different? If you came here this morning with someone, or you're sitting next to someone you know, ask them, how do you think I'm different? Because these people will be able to say, well, I feel like you're actually more patient. I feel like you've been more kind. I feel like you've been more present. That the people we're with can actually help us see how far we've come. They can help us to point out what God has done. And you can look inside. How have your wishes changed? Like, if you go through life and you're like, oh, I just wish I could have more patience. I get angry all the time. But then you all of a sudden notice that you start saying, I wish I could have more wisdom. And has your internal wish changed because God actually has made you more patient and now you've moved on to the next thing? And so what is it that you want deeply in your heart? And if it's different from what it was before, is that because the light is getting in? Because you're not where you were because God has done something. And so part of it is for us to know the story of our spiritual awakening, saying this is what God has done, this is how far I've come, and this is where the light comes in. And when this happens, it makes us humble, generous, and thankful. So that's the first part. Do you know your story? The second part is somehow giving away what God has given us. We've been talking a lot about the book Steps by John Ortberg. If you'd like to pick up a book to read through in a little bit more detail what we've been talking about on Sunday mornings, this is a good book to check out. But John Ortberg here, he's talking about AA and the whole idea of sponsorship. And if you go to NA or NA, you can get a sponsor, which is someone who's further down the sobriety journey than you are. And he says this about sponsorship in AA. Sponsorship was developed not just because the sponsee needed to receive it, but even more because the sponsor needed to give it. The challenge with sobriety, it turns out, isn't to achieve it, but to maintain it. And this was the discovery. The only way to keep sobriety is to give it away. And so it is for us, with joy and gratitude and hope and friendship and encouragement. Sometimes we will hear the saying, you cannot give what you do not have, and that is true. But in spiritual life, so is the reverse. You cannot keep what you do not give. Jesus says it this way, that whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And so we keep what we give. That as we receive this hope, as we receive the encouragement, as God begins to change it, we have to find a way to give it away. Otherwise, it stagnates. Ortberg says elsewhere that the spiritual approach coming to God with the brokenness in our lives was as useless as any other if you soaked it up like a sponge and kept it to yourself. See, I think when we keep it to ourselves, it's when we become forgetful. It's when we become proud, when we become entitled. We can't become dead-end recipients of what God has given us. If we want to keep it, we give it away. So if we want to keep our freedom, we give it away, but how does this work? And part of it is just natural as we tell the story. I am not an F1 fan. Is anyone here an F1 fan? Bunch are. So I got tickets to go to an F1 race. And some people are, like, excited. This is a couple years ago. You go to a hockey game, you see the game. You go to a soccer game, you see the game. You go to a football game, you see the game. You go watch F1. You sit there for 2 minutes. And you sit there for 2 minutes. You see, like, 3 seconds. At least on TV, they've got all the cameras. And I'm, like, I respect those who enjoy it. That's totally fine. It's not for me. But these tickets, this ticket is $1,000. This is a starting line ticket. And it was wasted on me. So, did I do this? No. Did I deserve this? No. Was I glad I got to go? Absolutely. It's a new experience. I would never, ever, ever have done this for myself. But I'm glad. And I suspect that I will now talk to someone who's an F1 fan, because I have told the story of something that I have received, did not deserve, and am thankful for. On Sunday mornings, the morning where I shared my journey with pornography, people came up and talked about their struggle with pornography. The morning that I shared that I had a surgical consult for my shoulder, someone came up and talked to me about the surgical consult on their shoulder. The week that I talk about my anxiety, someone comes up and talks to me about their struggle with anxiety. The week where I talk about that I feel like I need to be the smartest person in the room, someone comes up and talks to me about their need to be the smartest person in the room. When we share our story, when we say what God has done, when we explain how the light has come in through the brokenness, it opens the door for other people to come and say, hey, me too. And we have the opportunity to give away what we've received naturally because we're willing to tell the story of what God has done for us. And so do we know our story? And if we do, and if we can tell it, we'll find that sharing it actually comes quite naturally. So one way to give it away is to just tell your story and respond to those you encounter. So it's natural. It's intentional. That as we journey with Jesus, we can invite others to experience what we have. One of the greatest ways to invite someone is to say the phrase, with me. We run a program called Alpha. And so at Alpha, we ask big questions about life and meaning and purpose. And is this all there is? And if you know someone else who is asking those kinds of questions, you can say, would you like to go to Alpha? And then if you want to make it powerful, with me. Come experience some of what I have experienced. And at Alpha, you get a free meal. And in this economy, that's pretty good. And so, maybe we invite someone to Alpha. Maybe this whole 12-step freedom journey, you're like, actually, I want to go deeper. January, we start freedom session. You could say to your apprentice group, do you guys want to go to freedom session with me? If someone says, hey, that thing you talked about, that's something that I've struggled with too, you can say, do you want to go for coffee with me? Invite someone in to share what you have received. The way we keep it is by giving it away. It reminds us, it keeps us humble, it keeps us generous, it keeps us thankful. And finally, it's proportional. That what we have received, we give. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. What we've received is exactly like what we can give. And so, do you know your story? Do you know what God has done? Do you know how far you've come? And how can you give that away? Maybe it's from sharing your story. Maybe it's from inviting someone. And maybe it's just thinking about all the ways that someone has done something for you. And then you try and figure out how to do that for someone else. And so maybe if you don't invite someone to Alpha, you think, well, I went to Alpha and someone made food. Maybe I can make food for someone who goes to Alpha. And so where have you received? Where have you been blessed? How can you then serve and bless someone in the same way? And at the end of the day, maybe it's as simple as saying something nice about Jesus. So could you say something nice about Jesus? Jesus has been so kind to me. We're called to be witnesses. And a witness doesn't make anything up. A witness says what they've seen. A witness says what they've heard. A witness relays what they've experienced. How have you experienced and seen and heard Jesus? And could you say something nice about him? So we all have a story. Do you know your story? Do you know how far you've come? Do you know what God has done? And what will you do with that story? Because we're called to give what we've received. So this morning, we've got cake. We've got cake, and we've got cupcakes. And some of these cupcakes, I didn't take one at the 9 a.m. service. They're beautiful. I love cupcakes. And the reason we're having cupcakes and cake this morning is that that's a picture of these cupcakes. Oh, Jack, you're the best. Those might have been the 9 a.m. cupcakes, but still, the 11 a.m.s look so good. So this isn't in my notes. I love cupcakes more than almost any other dessert. And if the icing is high and it's good, it's amazing. And if you take the bottom of the cupcake and you rip it off and you pop it on top, it makes it like an icing sandwich with bread of cake. I'm also probably hungry. But we're going to have cake after the service. And the reason we are having cake is that in programs like AA and NA, a cake day is the one-year celebration of sobriety, of the work that they've done, of how far they've come. And so I had a friend who was in NA, and he said, hey, would you come with me for my cake day? And it was to celebrate the story of what God has done, of how far he'd come. And so today we have baptisms. Justin and Lily and Jaden are sharing the story of what God has done, and so we want to celebrate with cake. We've hit step 12, and so for all the people that have made it, and for people still on the journey, we want to have cake. And for anyone here who is just here and just wants to have cake, have cake. We're so excited to have you here. It's a celebration of what God has done and how far we've come. And so if you're just eating cake, that's totally fine. But I would encourage you to consider your story and to maybe ask someone and say, what is this cake to you? And this cake maybe means peace or hope or love or joy or the reminder that Jesus has been so good to me. And so we're going to have some cake. I'm going to invite the band up. And I would encourage you to take a moment to think about your story. If you're new to Jesus, if you've been following Jesus for a while, what has he done? How far have you come? And like Psalm 66, verse 16 says, come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. Let's do that this morning. Would you join me in prayer? So Jesus, we ask that you would make us aware of all you have done in our lives, of all the places that the light has come in, of all the ways we have encountered your grace. God, help us to see. And God, where we aren't sure, God, maybe where that journey hasn't even begun yet, God, would we be on the cusp of something amazing? Would you encounter us? Would you help us to encounter you? And would you show us all the places you've been and all the places you'll be? So God, this morning, help us to respond by giving away what you have been so generous with for us. And we pray this in your name. Amen.